Well, welcome to this time of, I don't know, Advent light, I guess. I know, Advent doesn't officially start for 2 more weeks, but Christmas candy is on the shelves. The Valentis have purchased some Trader Joe's Christmas cookies because we all know they sell out. I ordered my Christmas cards yesterday because Shutterfly's 50% off deal ends tonight at midnight. Maybe you too have leaned into one of these early Black Friday deals. I don't know, what time and place are we in anyway? So we're joining the bandwagon this year and getting ready in the church too. After all, this is what that word Advent means. Prepare for the arrival of Jesus, the arrival of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. Medieval mystic Bernard of Clairvaux wrote of these three distinct Advents or arrivals. We have Christ, the baby in Bethlehem, which is coming, right? And then at the end of the time, Christ will come again in resplendent glory. We do believe this, that Jesus shows up in both of these ways. And then there's also the Advent of our heart, where Christ shows up daily. And so this season invites us to engage with each of these Advents and asks us how we will live in response to and in the midst of them. For the next 6 weeks, we are going to explore these traditional words of Advent: love, joy, peace, hope, justice, and faith. As these words beckon us to recognize and celebrate how God has prepared us for such a time as this. Now, I want to give you a spoiler alert here. As we engage in these words for the next 6 weeks, let's see, love, joy, peace, hope, justice, faith. You might be tempted to think that these words are virtues, that they are ours to own and work on, judgments that we can pass on to one another in competition. But don't lose heart. This is not going to be a series based on another list of personal failings or a prescription on how to live your best life. Sure, you can find these words on a kitschy kitchen sign, right? Or in a Hallmark card. But this is not about leading us to a land of toxic positivity here. The theme for our season is actually called More Than Words, and it means just that. These words are more than just words that we throw around, and each word begins and ends with God's action. Love, joy, peace, hope, justice, faith. These are the divine qualities of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus is doing within us through the powers of the Holy Spirit. And so this Advent, we are invited to be a detective. I left my magnifying glass, but to magnify at where God is showing up in our midst. And so, dear ones, today fittingly we begin with this word that is more than a word, faith. We should be able to unpack this one. After all, it's the name of our congregation, right? Faith. And yet it's such a loaded little word. George Michael's song has been stuck in my head all week. You gotta have faith, 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 right? Perhaps your faith the last couple weeks has been shaken. Your faith in our common humanity, your faith in this democracy thing, experiment, faith in our planet. You know, we throw around this word in an argument. Have a little faith in me. Or maybe in the midst of your doubts and struggles, this voice from Scripture floats into your brain. Oh, you of little faith. So much of what we think about faith feels like it's up to us. If life stinks, well, it must be because we aren't praying enough. We aren't faithful enough. Faith must be something that we have to acquire, and we just need to rally. No, no, remember that spoiler alert. Dear ones, our faith comes from God. And it starts here at this font, where God meets us in the waters of baptism, not because of the great things we've done, but mostly as stinky crying babies, right? And in these waters, God proclaims us beloved. And these waters continue to wash over us our whole life. These constant, consistent, continual reminders that we are loved, we are enough, we are enough, we are loved. This is where we start. And that word that keeps coming back to me for faith is steadfastness. Like that grandma washing dishes night after night after night after night. This is about the dependability of God, which is always there for us. And some days this is easier to believe than others. Thankfully, faith is not grounded in an emotional experience. Faith happens to us, washes over us, sometimes even despite us. Martin Luther writes in his explanation to that third article of the Apostles' Creed that I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightens me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in one common and true faith. Faith is a gift. And through Hannah's story this week, I was reminded that faith is not just this steadfast, consistent gift. It's also corporate. Here she is, year after year, barren, agonizingly barren. She's teased by her spouse, tormented by her sister wife, and this priest, Eli, hears her lament and is frightened by it. He thinks she is drunk. But as she lifts up that she is struggling, Eli does not shame her. He doesn't ask for details. He just says, I will pray with you. And may God give you peace. And she leaves this interaction changed. And her son Samuel will change the course of history for the Israelite people. Pastor Victoria Larson from Barn Geese Worship describes faith this way. Faith is not something you are required to have in order to come to church. Rather, church is the place you go when you don't have faith for yourself, because it's where other people carry faith for you. The community's faith undoes our independence and teaches us to lean on one another in loving vulnerability. Faith is that steadfast encouragement from God and from one another that we are not alone. We are not in this thing called life. We are in this thing called life together. And no matter how hopeless and bad things get, faith is the reminder that at the end of all of this, God will show up. Love will win. Jesus reminds the disciples today that even the great temples of Rome will fall. And we know that, right? Rome is in ruins today. Not a stone will be left on stone. And I measured one of these stones that Jesus was talking about today, and I broke Juan's tape measure in the process. Sorry, Juan. But so they are 35 feet long, which is about that first pew to the exit door halfway back. So that's how long it is. It's as high as from the floor to one of these lights. And it's about as wide as the railing here in the front. So we would only fit one, maybe one and a half, two of these stones. These are big stones and big buildings. This is why the disciples went, whoa, right? Maybe it's like your first time in New York City when you see those giant skyscrapers. Whoa, big buildings, impossible, fierce structures. They're supposed to invoke this sense of awe and power. So it's a big deal when Jesus says they're going to fall. They will crumble. Nations will war against nation. Everything you know will come to ruin. There will be bad things, famines and earthquakes and death. In Bible study, we reflected on this week that these things are still with us. We still live with war and earthquakes. We've gotten a little better at the famine thing. We are still here. Even Jesus, their beloved rabbi, teacher, Emmanuel, dies. And we know what a terrible, awful death it will be. And yet, dear ones, while it would seem that all things are lost, remember that the cross leads to an empty tomb. Remember that God is faithful and steadfast and present. And if that is too much to believe in today, it's okay. I will hold faith alongside you until you can believe it again. For that is what we're here to do, to hold faith for one another in these impossible days. Over and over again, as a pastor, I have been so humbled and privileged to be in this seat and to witness you, people of faith, as you lean into the faith given to you in the midst of so many broken, awful, horrible things. I'll share just one story from a previous congregation with some details removed for confidentiality. But a parishioner was meeting me for coffee, and she shared that once she had to have this emergency surgery, and it was awful. She almost died. It was scary and horrible. And she's laying there in the hospital bed afterwards, and another parishioner comes to visit. And she brings with her not flowers or chocolate, because we all know how terrible hospital food is, right? But she brings a tchotchke, and it's like, oh, tchotchkes, these things that collect dust and haunt me in my dreams. No. She brings this little bird figurine that is so joyful. And you picture like this little bluebird with a happy hat, like mid-song, right? She brings this little bird and she tells her friend, "I got this for you because I know things right now are hard and scary. But let this remind you that I hold faith alongside you that things will get better and you will feel like this little bird someday. It might not happen today or tomorrow, but someday it will find you again." And so, dear ones, at this beginning time, as we prepare for the arrival of Jesus, may you know that you are not alone, that the faith resides in your bones, and there's nothing you could ever do to separate you from God's steadfast, enduring presence. May you reach out to someone if you need a little reassurance of that. And may you allow the faith that lives within you to be a source of steadfast courage to someone who needs it this week. I want to close with this blessing from Jan Richardson that I usually pull out for the first week of Advent, and it just feels all the more fitting for us as we embark on this journey. And so I invite you to receive this blessing by taking a deep breath. Maybe rolling your shoulders back, grounding your feet on the floor. Maybe putting your hands upward in your lap, closing your eyes if it feels good. And receive this blessing. Look, the world is always ending somewhere. Somewhere the sun has come crashing down. Somewhere it has gone completely dark. Somewhere it has ended with the gun, the knife, the fist. Somewhere it has ended with the slammed door, the shattered hope. Somewhere it has ended with the utter quiet that follows the news from the phone, the television, the hospital room, Somewhere, it has ended with a tenderness that will break your heart. But listen, this blessing means to be anything but morose. It has not come to cause despair. It is simply here, because there is nothing a blessing is better suited for than an ending. This blessing will not fix you, will not mend you, will not give you false comfort. It'll not talk to you about one door opening when another closes. It'll simply sit itself beside you, among the shards, and gently turn your face toward the direction from which the light will come, gathering itself about you as the world begins again. Amen.